Welcome to The Well. This podcast focuses on applying the Bible to our everyday lives, discussing real life issues from a Christian perspective, and encouraging women to walk in faith. As Jesus followers, we have all experienced the freedom that comes with choosing to follow Him, and we want to be a part of your journey to living a life rooted in Christ. This podcast is sponsored by Costello's Butcher Shop, recently voted best locally owned retail store in the Gulf Coast. Y'all, they have everything. Your Wagyu steaks, a deli, fine cheeses, fine wines, desserts, just all the amazing things. They're located at 8190 West Fairfield Drive in Pensacola, Florida. And don't forget about their free lunch program through the KTF. 7 days a week, a child can walk in to Costello's and get themselves a sack lunch and fill their bellies. I think Christy said they've almost beat 100,000. That's amazing. All right, so go in, say hi, let them know Truth Rising sent you, and don't miss out. You will be so glad you did. Friends, we are back for all things Christmas. And this is awesome. I'm so excited. Leah and Maggie have prepared some really good little nuggets that they're going to share with you. And I just hope y'all enjoy this. Maggie, you want to go ahead and kick us off since your kid's up and he's watching Trash Truck right now?
Yes, we will. Thank you, Leah, for letting me go first so that when Trash Truck does not entertain him anymore, hopefully I'll be done and I can run out there. Thank you, Jesus, for Trash Truck, whoever you created to create that show.
That's your Christmas present. You're welcome. Love you.
There is a Christmas trash truck. Anyways, back to Jesus. So I'm going to talk to you guys about being joyful in the Christmas season. So I am going to start in Luke. We're just going to start in Luke. It's in the New Testament. If you don't know, we're going to be in chapter 2. That will be the big number. And then we're going to start in 10. So that will be the little number. If you're not super familiar with how to flip through, go to it, read it. It's a beautiful story. Luke wrote this gospel to the Gentiles, in specific, the Greeks. And y'all, if you ever say Greek mythology, they love a good story. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's why Luke is so beautiful. It's such a great narrative that you can go and read. Matthew's beautiful in its own way, but it's the whole genealogy. It's written to the Jews. They like that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. So yeah. So it's so cool because it's like, why are there four gospels? Well, one of it is because different people like different things. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, right before what I'm going to talk about. There's angels coming and they're talking to shepherds. There's shepherds out. It's during the night. Shepherds are doing what shepherds do. They're caring for their sheep. And so these angels come. And so that's kind of the scene that we're talking about. Jesus has been born. There are shepherds out in the field doing what shepherds do. And now there are these angels coming, you know, just normal shepherd stuff, seeing some angels. So Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Okay, so these angels come down, these shepherds, it's nighttime, crazy. Right? Like, I want that. But one day we'll be in heaven and we'll get to see it all the time. So, so it's really cool. And they come down and they talk about the great joy. And what is the great joy? And it's for all people, okay? It's for everybody who decides to accept it. This is God's gift to mankind. So there is this great joy that has been born, and it's the Savior. Now, I love this. The angels didn't stop there. They didn't just say, hey, the Savior is there. He's been born. They told them how to go into the Savior's presence. They told them how to get into the presence of this great joy. Down in Luke chapter 2, verse 12, they said, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." As we enter into this Christmas season and we want to be people who are joyful, I think that that is the biggest thing that we need to remember. We need to be going into the presence of our Savior. That's going to be the key to being joyful this season. Because let's be honest, the holiday season can be so stressful. You're coordinating plans. You got to
buy all your kids' presents and buy your kids' teacher's presents and your second aunt twice removed. Like there's all these expectations, but that's not what we're called to do. We're called to be joyful. Mm-hmm. So I just want to talk to you guys about being joyful because we literally see that there was good news of great joy. And so Christ being born should produce great joy in our life. And especially when we're in this season where we're reflecting on Christ coming down. So with all of that said, I want to ask a question. How can we be joyful when our eyes are on everything else except for the true source of joy? Mm. When we are more focused on having the perfect aesthetic in our home for the gram, you know, because your toddler don't care about that. Your husband probably don't care about that. You know that you're doing it to take the pictures, to get all the likes, you know, to make everyone think like she's got her life together. When we are too focused on going to every single holiday event possible, when we are too focused on the shortcomings of all of our family members, mm-hmm. and again, amen. Like when we're so focused on all of these other things, what is that going to make us become? It's not going to make us become joyful. We become jealous. We become angry. We become stressed and frustrated. We become everything except for joyful. When we're so focused on doing all the things and being all the things and seeing all the things, that's what we become. We don't become joyful.
Insecure. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes. For sure. Insecure.
Oh, I thought she said insecure. I was like, oh, that's a good name instead of
insecure. The insecure. for being insecure on Instagram. So let's go to Galatians 5:22. That verse talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And it lists joy as a part of the fruit of the Spirit. I really love imagery, and I think God is very intentional when he uses imagery. And so when we look at fruit, I think that we have to look at what was God intending with that imagery. So the imagery of fruit shows us that we have to be intentional. I can't just go bury a lemon in my backyard and expect that a lemon tree is going to pop up. That's not how it happens. Even when I'm intentional with my garden, y'all, it's still a mess out there, even when I am intentional with it. So I think that when we're looking at the imagery of fruit, we have to see that you do have to be intentional with fruit trees and fruit bushes and whatever else fruit grows on, fruit vines. You have to be intentional with it and you have to care for it. So we have to look at that imagery and we have to nurture joy and we have to create an environment where the Spirit can grow joy in us. If we're not caring and cultivating our spirit and our soul, how are we going to expect that the Spirit can plant seeds and water it and actually grow that fruit in our life? If we just have this dry soul, that no fertilizer, no nothing, we're not coming in and taking out the weeds and we're not pruning off dead things, how can we expect that this fruit is going to grow well? So we have to be intentional. So how do we be intentional when it comes with joy? God is so good because he tells us it's not some hidden secret. You know, it's not something that just your pastor knows. God tells us in his word how we find joy. Psalm 16:11 tells us that in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. Mm. We have to be, again, we have to be like those shepherds. We have to go into the presence of the Savior. Mm-hmm. We have to go into his presence because that's where the fullness of joy is. So during this season, again, we have to be intentional. We must be intentional about entering God's presence because the devil is being intentional about making us so busy and so stressed that we completely miss who Christmas is about and why we celebrate it. Because y'all, we fight against the devil. He's our enemy. We fight a battle against oh gosh, spirits. I almost said against blood, but and flesh, but that's not who we're fighting against. We're fighting in this spiritual battle. And our enemy is intentional. Why is Christmas the busiest season of the year? Mm-hmm. Why is it the time that we fight with our family the most? Why is it? Because he is being intentional about making sure that we are doing all the worldly things and none of the spiritual things. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing. And so if our enemy is being intentional, we have to be even more intentional. So I don't want you guys to miss that. We have to be intentional about going into God's presence during this season, or we're not going to be joyful. It's just not going to happen. So keep in mind this season what Psalm 4:7 tells us. So this psalmist is talking to God in this moment. And so he tells God, "You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their wine and grain abound." So the psalmist is saying, God, you give me more joy than any earthly thing can give joy to anybody. Even the richest man, even when he has the best year, I get more joy from you than his money or their car or their big house, you know, all the flashy things. You give me more joy than any earthly thing can give to any person. Jesus giving us salvation will give you more joy than getting that perfect, thoughtful gift from your husband, like Miss 40,000 followers on Instagram got, you know, the one that she probably went and picked out herself. And it's probably an ad. And it's, you know, she made her husband get dressed up and wrap it up. She probably wrapped it herself, you know, all the things. And he offers us more joy than having the newest gifts under the tree for the kids. His presence brings us more joy than the picture perfect Christmas season that we so desire, but honestly, it's unattainable. And I know maybe you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, Maggie, all of that stuff's so surface level. Maybe you're walking through hell right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe your kids aren't even going to have a present under the tree. Maybe your electric is about to get turned off. So mm-hmm. your lights can't even be on the tree. Maybe you and your husband are separated. I don't know what's going on. But I do know this, that you still have to be intentional about going into God's presence. And even in that situation, you can be joyful mm-hmm. because God teaches us and he promises us that if we are his children, if we are saved again and we are believers, that he cares for us. And he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death with us. Mm-hmm. But you have to be in his presence and allowing him to shepherd you through that. So yes, there's very shallow things that can cause stress and cause us to take our eyes off Christ during this season. But there's also really difficult things. Mm-hmm. There's really difficult things that you might be walking through right now. And you might say, okay, cool, Maggie. Yeah, that's great. Okay, I won't have the perfect Christmas. But you don't know what I'm walking through. But I know that God knows what you're walking through. And I know that if you're taking it to him and you're letting him guide you through it, he's going to get you through it. And it's probably not going to look like how you think it is. Mm-hmm. And you're still, when January 1st comes, you're still not going to have everything that you want. And you might still be struggling. And you might still struggle for the whole next year, the next 5 years. I don't know. But I do know that you can still have joy when you're walking through the difficult. Mm-hmm. If you are going into the presence of our Savior and asking him to walk with you.
And a practical way, I think, to look at this as well. I mean, if you can see Maggie's face right now, she's feeling everything that she's saying. And it's so beautiful because these aren't just words. This is what God tells us so we can trust it. But how does that look? And being intentional is just another way of saying choosing, right? Are you going to choose when you're walking through hell to lift your hands and still say, God, you're so good? Like, it makes me even emotional to think of that because it feels so good to say that. Because everything around you might be telling you in this moment, no, curse his name. Look what he's done. Look at the life he gave you. You didn't deserve that. But when you choose to go into God's presence and lift your hands and say, God, you're so good. And I love you and I choose you. Y'all, you're never going to be more in his presence than in that moment. And get ready, because you're going to be washed in the peace that only can be found in Jesus. So that is a huge thing that I think we don't tell people. We don't set them up for success, because a lot of times you do. You hear the surface level stuff, Maggie, that you're talking about, right? Where it's like, oh, well, this and that and blah, blah, blah. But I'm so proud of you, and I'm so grateful to you for speaking into that next level that people don't actually just want to see. So they choose not to. And that's just, I don't know, that's just my little tip, 2 cents that I wanted to add in there, that being intentional may look like just making a choice to lift those hands, even when they may feel like 2 million pounds. Mm. Once you get them up, you're not going to want to put them down.
Exactly. So. Yes. I love that, Tiffany. And that's so great, because that, like, that's going to segue us into, what does entering into his presence look like during this season? And maybe you're expecting me to tell you what Advent study to do and what Christmas songs do I need to listen to? And, you know, what activities do I need to do, and which Advent blocks do I need to buy my kid? Maybe you want me to tell you that you're supposed to be canceling Santa and canceling Christmas trees and canceling Christmas altogether because it's pagan. And, you know, and I'm sorry, but I'm not going to tell you that, because the beautiful thing is we serve a God that doesn't change, and he doesn't ask us to enter into his presence a different way at Christmas than he does the rest of the year. He doesn't ask us to enter into his presence at Easter, a different time of the year, at Christmas, on a random Tuesday in July. He doesn't ask us to come differently. So what I'm going to tell you is how to enter into God's presence, into the Savior's presence, every day of the year. And I'm going to tell you that you got to continue being intentional about it during the Christmas season, because the enemy is going to be attacking you in a different way. Mm-hmm. So how do we enter into the presence of our Savior? With thanksgiving, with gratefulness, with gratitude. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. If he woke you up today, the fact that you woke up should be producing joy in your life. Because you don't deserve today. We're all sinners. We've fallen short of the glory of God. What we deserve is death. We don't deserve one good thing that God has blessed us with. So the fact that you woke up today, even if that's the only thing that you think you can be grateful for, because I bet if you looked a couple minutes longer, you could find at least 2 more, you can be filled with joy. So remember that when your joy is under attack from the enemy, just look around the room. Just feel your pulse, feel your breath, and you can start moving into that mindset of, okay, I can be joyful. So that's just one thing. Prayer, that's another way that we enter into God's presence, because we look to him when we're praying. We are telling God as our Father, God, these are the things that are important to us. This is what I'm walking through. And I trust you to help me with these things. That's why prayer is so important, because it is us giving what is important to us and what is hard and what we're walking through and what's important to those who are around us. And it's giving it to God, and it's saying, God, your will be done. And I trust you that you will answer these, even if it looks different than how I expected to. That's what prayer does, that it's us taking things to God and it's saying, please help me with this, because I know that you are the only one who can actually help me with this. Mm-hmm. Read in your Bible. That is another way that we enter into God's presence. God gave us this beautiful gift. Beautiful. And he doesn't even give this to everybody in the world. There's people who are believers in Christ who do not have access to a Bible. They don't have access to it. And I'm looking at my bookshelf. I've got probably 5 over there. My phone's right next to me. I got at least 6 apps that I can go read the Bible on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a beautiful gift. And make sure that this holiday season, maybe you want to read through the book of Luke. Maybe you want to read a bunch of prophecies, whatever it looks like. It doesn't have to be anything specific. Make sure that you're going to it and you are meeting the Spirit there and letting Him teach you. That's a beautiful way to enter into God's presence. It's one of my favorite ways. I love studying it and I love seeing what God can teach me from it. Another one is serving others. I'm not going to tell you that you got to go and work in the soup kitchen or do Toys for Tots 20 times. I'm not going to tell you what you need to do and what serving God looks like for you, because we're a body of believers and we are parts of the body. And God created each of us to have a certain function in the body. And make sure that this holiday season, this Christmas season, that your part of the body is not going numb because you are too busy to be serving God. And you are too busy doing all the things that your part of the body, what God created you to do, goes numb for a month. Because, man, wouldn't that be letting the devil win? If God created you for something and you go a whole 30, 31 days, I don't know how many days are in December. Some of y'all like to start setting up at Thanksgiving before Thanksgiving. And that's beautiful. That's great. Let's, you know, celebrate Jesus's birth every day of the year. But make sure that you don't get so caught up in Christmas that you're not serving. Because when you serve the way that God created you to, you're entering into God's presence and you are ushering others into God's presence. So whatever that looks like for you, maybe it's leading worship, and that's great because they do so many things like that at churches. You know, maybe it is doing that. Maybe it's making sure that you are there serving the little kids. Thank you if you are the nursery worker. Thank you for real. You let me go to church and focus. You know, whatever it is, maybe you lead a small group. Don't let the whole month just be written off because everybody's doing everything. Maybe you're supposed to meet with that one person who's still in town this week. So don't let your part of the body go numb because you're too busy doing all the Christmas things. And you're like, how is that celebrating Jesus's birth? Celebrating Jesus's birth is making sure that you are serving others and doing what God has called you to do. So all of that said, 1 Peter 1:8, it explains that when you believe in Christ, you will be full of joy that's inexpressible. Because of your joy from believing in Christ, you are going to look different than the rest of the world. And that's because your focus won't be on yourself, but it will be on the Savior's presence and what He wants you to be doing. And you're going to look different. You're going to look different because a lot of people are so full of anxiety and impatience and depression and, you know, just anger this time of year. Just go to any big box store and just look at the long line and see all the angry faces and be that smiling face because you are full of joy and you're getting to celebrate the Savior's birth, you know, and you're going to look different and you're going to give that cashier, I don't have to be scared of this woman because she's smiling and she's happy. You know, even gosh, what a gift. I used to work at Starbucks, you know, like it was such a relief to see happy faces and not being cussed out over coffee. But instead, I had some of the best customers. They give me Starbucks gift cards for Christmas. I'm like, oh, like that's so, it was so great. And you can just see, you can see such a contrast this time of year, someone who is full of joy and someone who is not. So be that person who's full of joy. Look different than everyone else around you. What you want to look like is you want to look like the shepherds who went into the presence of the Savior of the world. Because a couple verses down, we see what the shepherds did. They told everyone while glorifying and praising God because they had been in the presence of pure joy. They looked different when they left. They were glorifying God and they were praising Him and they were telling everyone. So that's how we can look different this season. That's how we can be joyful. Make sure that you don't miss entering God's presence every single day
Maggie, you just covered me in goosebumps with that shepherd. Say that again. When okay. they went in the presence of God, they left. What happened? Say, just say it one more time. Okay. That was huge.
So you'll look a lot like the you'll look a lot like the shepherds who went into the presence of the Savior of the world. They left and they told everyone while glorifying and praising God because they had been in the presence of pure joy.
And they look like, how crazy amazing is that? You look different. You want to look different. That's so beautiful. You just covered me in goosebumps because that's beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing to hear what Christ does in us when we have a desire to decrease so he can increase in who we are. And we choose to decrease by going into the presence of God, like you just said. And those were fantastic examples of how to do that. And I think everyone on here is just going to benefit. I'm kind of at a loss for words. I wasn't expecting all that to just come out your mouth. That was so good. Oh my goodness.
Thank you, Jesus, because that's what I'm saying, y'all. You got to read your Bible because that was just all straight. That was from the Spirit. That was not me. That was no commentary. That was no pastor having preached it. That was the Spirit teaching me. And then I just have to share it with you guys. So that's
why. I don't even know what to say now because I'm just kind of blown. I've never heard it spoken like that. It's so beautiful. And that was what Maggie had said earlier. She was like, I'm so excited. You guys, this was, I literally was reading my Bible and the Holy Spirit just made this very clear to me. I've never noticed this before. And that is what Maggie, I love about her. She encourages you. She said it to me before, Tiffany, because I had read something. I go, you guys, it's like he wrote this for me. And she goes, can you imagine how many more people are saying the same thing? Like, did you write this for me, God? It is. It's living and it's active. I mean, it has a pulse. Like it is the real deal. And what you just witnessed today, if you're listening to this, that was truly what it looks like for someone who's in close relationship with the Holy Spirit. That is someone who hears God and uses or lets him use her to speak into y'all. She just spoke life into me. I know. I see it on Tara and Leah's face. She just spoke life into them. And that's like, you just served today, my friend. So good job.
Ooh, I'm good till the 25th. No, just kidding, y'all. Keep it up.
Oh, I love that.
And perfect timing because Trash Truck is no longer like entertaining my kid. Hopefully y'all don't hear him banging on the door. So I am going to turn it over. Miss Leah, hit us with it. I'm so excited because Tiffany's been talking you up, girl. So
no pressure. No pressure.
Good group. That was really good. I'm just kind of soaking up what Maggie had shared. Just like, I think that's good enough for now. I wish Trash Truck were. I have 3, a 7 and a 4 and an 8-month old now. So I love Maggie's just everything about her. It's so nice. Part of me is a little bit envious of just to have that soothing and like, it's like the nice Folgers in your cup commercial about Christmas and Jesus and focusing on him and just kind of like settle into that. Right. And you just get comfortable.
Welcome to Truth Rising, my friend.
Right. And it's so great. And then I'm sitting here and this is like kind of my first time into this setting in this group. Right. And I'm the person that everybody's trying to sleep in. And I come barging into your room and I start jumping on your bed and you're like, go away. That's how I kind of feel because I'm super excited to share what God has put in my heart. Starting with the Christmas spirit, if you will, a lot of stuff and going back to the gospel, because it is about the gospel. And I love how Maggie said, it's not just, this is how we do it on Christmas. This is not how we do it. This is just how we do it on Easter. You know, the joke that goes when you see your friends at Christmas and then you're like, see you at Easter. And then you see them at Easter, see you at Christmas. But as believers, this is how we get to be every single day, every moment of the day. And that's the challenge is because we have to be intentional every single day. Mm-hmm. And with that, when I think about the Christmas season and what God had put in my heart for this particular podcast is the word hope. And it sounds so cliche, and I'm with you. I'm so over cliches. They bother me all the time. But stick with me. stick with me. And I'm hoping Tara and Tiffany will jump in. I know Tiffany will. Yeah. So I wanted to start with Matthew chapter 5, actually. Just kind of, I feel like we've got it established. Luke chapter 2 and the proto-evangelium of the first gospel coming in. So let's jump into Matthew 5, the famous Sermon on the Mount. And just that first verse where it says, "Blessed are the pure in spirit, for they shall see God." And this is something that has really been on my heart for the past 6 months, honestly. And a lot of times when we hear the word pure, there's so many different things that come to play. And with the Christmas spirit, I think of the Charles Dickens with, what's his name, Little Timmy or somebody in there. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, the pureness that film tries to capture with A Christmas Carol. That's what it is. With Christmas, the goal is to see God. The goal is to share him, to be in his presence, to walk with him, to sit with him. And I think one of the challenges that we have is we end up, and I'm going to use this term, kicking against the pricks. I use that phrase because it's a reference to the, Apostle Paul, but back when he was Saul, who is a religious zealot. And in the name of Christ, he decided to persecute all the Christians. So it was really interesting. And so God confronted him in his life and said, "Hey, you're kicking against the pricks," completely opposite of what I have done on Calvary and my purpose for that. And God begins to challenge and radically change Saul, so much his name becomes Paul, to where he begins to preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ and how we have freedom and we have hope and we have grace in him. It's not of works. It's not of all the hustle and bustle. And I think one of the challenges we have, especially in seasons like this, is we get busy. We get busy with the hustle and the bustle because we want so-and-so to know Christ. We want so-and-so to experience the love and joy of the Christ. And what really ends up happening is we end up kicking against the pricks. It's not our desire, but if we're not careful, we end up doing that. And I think it's really hard. We get sucked into these debates of like, Christmas really wasn't in December, it was in October, or we get sucked into these debates, well, it's really based upon some pagan ritual. And it's like, can we just get rid of all of that stuff? And like Maggie said, you're not going to have the joy unless you're looking to Jesus. And you're not looking at Jesus if you're looking at all these crazy debates. Mm-hmm. You're not looking at Jesus if you're getting stuck in, I just don't want to see that person or can't deal with that. So let's go to this hard place so that we can talk about the hope that we can have in him. So piggybacking, is that the right term? To piggyback.
You got it, girl. It's a piggyback.
Tiffany, right? Yeah. Maggie had my notes. I promise you
we'll
collaborate this. Yeah. And the first person I put is, where am I looking? To whom am I looking? And for what or whom? When you're purchasing that gift, what's the goal behind that? Is it so that your children or your husband can inflate you, like validate you? I'm not saying that those are bad things, but I'm saying, what's the purpose behind it? Because think about it this way. You go through all of this time, you've spent all this time, effort, and energy picking out a gift, preparing all these things, and then your kid opens it or somebody opens it and they don't make the face that you were expecting. What's your knee-jerk reaction? What does that tell you about what you were looking for? Mm-hmm. I think that's a hard place because we really, and that's why I like the term kicking against the pricks. And I think even for some people who may not have the extra finances to go out and get even like a gift from Dollar Tree or something like that. And maybe you're not as creative. And so even just trying to figure out how to creatively put something together and you're literally sitting there feeling like I don't have anything tangible. I don't even feel like I have anything within my spirit to give. This is really hard. Or we've talked about a little bit about this. Maybe it's just a difficult season. And it's really hard to sit in that space. So this is where I come with the question, to whom and what am I looking at? So when we turn our eyes to Christ and we look at what God has given us, the hope that we have in him has to do with character and our attitude. That's what we give people, right? Sometimes a gift can convey that. You're thinking about someone, you're meeting their needs. Tara's like, I'm the mom that I give you shampoo and razors. I will just love you with all your necessities. And that is fantastic. I'm all about that. I'll have to send you my list of things, Tara.
A nutcracker.
Right. And I think about sometimes, though, sometimes the giving of tangible things is a way that we use to mask up deeper issues and needs. It's much easier for me to give you this as seen on TV $20 Snuggie than it is for me to sit with you and pour out my heart to let you know that I've missed you for so long. And maybe it's because you can't have that conversation with that loved one because they're not in that space. So it's a really, how do you have hope in that? How do you have hope to sit with people or not sit with people in light of the season? And how do you navigate those spaces? And so you start looking to Christ and you start saying, wow, the world had to wait for so long for Christ to be born. Genesis 3:15, and how many years, what, 2,000 something years before Christ was born? That's a long wait. But what's really cool is when you look in John chapter 1, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, basically saying that even before the creation of the world, God already had salvation in its place. So what is on my heart is when you're dealing with the difficult things, hold on to the hope that God is drawing those loved ones to Him, even though you may not be able to say or speak or sit or share with them. You hold that hope and you hold on to that hope and you go with that joy. If you get them a gift, great. If you don't get them a gift, that's fine. You can still pray for them. I wouldn't recommend like sending a bunch of letters to people and in the hopes of saving money for Christmas, I've just decided to send you a prayer. That might work for some people. Like if you have a great community of friends like here, I could receive that. But you might be kicking against the pricks if you send that to somebody in your circle that may be really struggling with just being jaded towards Christianity, truthfully. And then what happens is it turns into an argument, right? Like, oh my gosh, you know, Christians get a bad rap for that of like, they just put a prayer on it and put a scripture on it. And those things are powerful. What is your intention of telling your loved ones that you're praying for them? Mm-hmm. What is your intention for encouraging people to read scriptures? What is your intention for getting them that gift? Is it something that God has put in your heart to communicate to them, to really let them know, hey, I am praying for you? Or is it just it's something that you're saying to make you feel better about yourself so that in hopes that they will come to know? Let me tell you, my friend, the Holy Spirit is always working. He is so good. Even if you get the most horrible gift, the Holy Spirit isn't like, oh my gosh, I can't tell them about me because they just got them that horrible gift. Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. You are not that powerful. I just really want to encourage you because I feel like a lot of times I know for me and my background and things, I joke and I say like I'm the Grinch. And I think we just miss on how good God is. Like we don't have to do anything yet. And when you find yourself struggling, saying, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. And then you're overwhelmed. You're like, oh, I just don't know what to do anymore. I'm at the end of myself. Great. We've been waiting for you to get there. That's the whole point of the gospel. That is exactly the whole point. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy those things. David says in Psalms 26, it says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me and try my reins and my heart. I think that's one of the hardest things during this season because we put so much effort, or if you're like me, you try not to put so much effort, but then you still end up having to do stuff and then you still have to check your motive. It's not like, you know, whether you do or you don't, it's a him. It's Jesus. And what does that look like in your present moment as we're learning to focus on him? And when you start to experience those hard emotions, not just the anxiety of things. How about the hard emotion of not, you feel like you don't measure up? How about the hard emotion when you go to a Christmas party and you don't feel like your gift fits in? Maybe you didn't bring a gift. Maybe your food didn't turn out quite right. Maybe you're just really excited about all of the things that you've put together to bring everybody together. And then you realize you may have come across too strong to somebody else who's really struggling. Maybe there's a recent death in the family, or not a recent death. It doesn't matter at that aspect of things. Maybe there's so many things we can pull from. And it's in those moments that you take that heartache and you gift it to him. And then Jesus comes in. He says, thank you. I know what that's like. Let me sit with you. And he does. He sits with you and he says, yes, I know you care about that loved one. I know you miss that loved one, but I am faithful. I am good. And in that you can have joy, and in that you can have peace and that hope. That's why the weary world begins to rejoice. Because in Christ, we have hope in him. So now how do I hold that space when you're sitting around with everybody and you're sitting with people and they're wanting to get into all these conversations and to jump in all these different things? Maybe it's not about what you have to say. You just listen and ask the Lord to give you wisdom and discernment for what's really behind all of these things. Sometimes it is going to that person and saying, hey, thanks for inviting us over. Sometimes it says, hey, let me pray with you. Or sometimes it's just showing up and smiling. Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's powerful. Or if you want to get like all the bluey sets and all the toys, and that's fine too. That's fine too. It's not, again, it's not a yes, no, do, don't. It's a him and being present with others. And that's, yeah, that's basically what was in my heart.
Oh my goodness. Leah, your heart. That is so beautiful. Tara's over here crying.
You wrecked me. I'm like, thanks for showing up today. You guys did a great job. I'm out. I'm ruined. Let's go.
Aw. Leah.
So good.
What you
I just, that was clear.
No, it was extremely clear. Very and it's clear. Actually something I need to listen to about five more times.
Amen.
Because does anyone else? I'm in awestruck of the two of you and what you just brought here today. I'm blown away at the fact that I get to be in ministry with people like you and know people like you with both of your hearts and what you have to say. You truly speak life into others, y'all. Like that was that just a beautiful reflection of who Christ is to you, Leah, I think is what's one of the main things. I see the power of God in you by what you just said. Because someone doesn't get to that conclusion, right, without you've walked through that clearly. Mm. You are speaking from a place of understanding, which is so powerful. Even Paul, remember when he's like, I could tell you all these things and the wisdom and the knowledge that I have, but what does he choose? He chooses to speak of the power of God in his own life, his own story, his own testimony. And I think that that is where, y'all, if you are listening to this, what Leah and Maggie were able to do today is because they spoke from the power of God in their life today. Today, December, whatever day you're listening to this, that's what they're choosing. They're not living in yesterday. They're not living in 10 years ago. They're using all of that, right? God's presence in their life, but they're speaking to you in the moment right now, right here. And the power of God and who he is in relationship to them today. And I mean, that just comes across so clear. So I think that this is a great example for others listening to this. Y'all, you can do what we're doing right now, right? You can continue to even give this as a gift to God by just simply going and telling others about who God is to you. That can be telling them, showing them, just living it. Speak life into others. This doesn't take a degree. This doesn't take an age. You can do this wherever, whenever, with whoever. But be in relationship with Christ. Hear his voice. Pay attention to what he's saying. If you can't hear his voice, take that as your first indication. Go get right with God. You should be able to hear God. I am telling you that. That is the truth. You can hear God. You just have to be able to be in relationship with God. Go get in relationship with him. Whatever needs to surface, ask him to search you. Bring it up. Lay it at the cross. Let the cross do what it was intended to do. Let yourself be healed, be strengthened, be redeemed by the Lord and Savior. Let it happen. And then you can go out and speak life and show others, this is who Jesus really is. This is the power of God. And you, my friend, can access this as well. He is here for all. He sent his son for everyone. He didn't pick and choose. but you have to choose him. How do you look at someone who's handing you a gift and just stare at it, not take it, not open it, not receive it? That's not how it works. You have to reach out, take that gift. Christmas was one of the greatest gifts we'll ever receive. I'm only saying only one, because then came the cross. But Christmas is a gift, my friend, but you can't receive that gift unless you choose to. He has put a giant red bow on it. It is beautifully wrapped. And he is sitting there and he's saying, he's calling your name. He's saying Tara. He's saying Maggie. He's saying Leah. He's saying Tiffany. He is pursuing after you with such love, because you are a person full of purpose and value. And God wants you to know him. He wants to be in relationship with you. All it takes is for you to make sure. If you're not in right standing with him, it's very simple. You go to him and you say, God, I believe you are who you say you are. Please, Father, wash me clean of these sins that I have made. Make me a new creation in you. I want to know you. I choose you, Jesus. I love you. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And I believe. Let me be a Jesus follower. And you're in. That's it. That's all you got to do to receive that gift. Now you have the gift, y'all. That's a gift that you are sealed with for eternity. Nothing can take that away from you. It is the gift that will never be able to be ruined, destroyed, stolen, nothing. Because God's gift is the Holy Spirit that now dwells in you. Christ is in you. And it's a gift that you're going to be wrecked in the best way by. So get prepared, my friend. And if you're someone who you're like, yeah, Tiff, I did that, but I don't know. I don't hear God. I feel actually like my heart's actually really hardened right now. I feel very discouraged and I just don't feel it. Well, get your hands up, go before him, or maybe you need to get on your face and just say, Jesus. Either his name holds power or it doesn't, but say Jesus, call on the name of Jesus. He'll meet you right there where you're at. He hasn't left, by the way. He's right there. He just needs you to remember that. So go get on your face or lift your hands up and choose him right now. Choose Christ right now. Don't wait till you're done. If you're driving, you can do it in the car. Keep your eyes open. If this is in the middle of the night, get up, get on your face, get your hands up, whatever it is you need to do, whatever posture you need to take towards the Lord, take it now. There's a gift. Don't turn your back on him. Don't spit in his face. Don't deny him. Receive him. What do you have to lose? Is your way working out so well? Are all these things that maybe bring you happiness for the moment? Okay, great. But what if you have something that can give you joy for eternity? Even now, even here, before we cross over into the next with Christ for eternity, when the world's burning down, you can still have joy. You can still have peace. But that is only found in Jesus Christ himself. You will not find that anywhere else, my friend. You cannot buy it. You cannot work for it. You cannot earn it. Same thing, I think. But at the same time, you get the point. Only these things, only this gift, the gift of the fruit of the Spirit, the gift of eternal salvation. Hey, guess what? The gift of healing, the gift of redemption, can only be found in Jesus himself. So on this Christmas, don't forget that. Remember that. If you hate nothing else, if you hear nothing else that we have said, listen for the voice of God, because he is calling your name and he loves you. Oh, you'll never know. You'll never know. I don't even know if we'll know in heaven how much God loved us, loves us.
I have an illustration, Tiffany.
Yes.
Okay. So this is, if you're struggling with that, one, try writing Jesus a letter. If you say, I don't have any words to say, I just can't write him a letter. Even better. Like, wait, what? Because here's the thing. God is omnipresent. Mm-hmm. So even though you can't see him, he is there sitting with you. So sit with him. He's sitting with you. And then you find yourself sitting there, and I'm imagining myself sitting next to Christ, and I kind of like see myself being able to swing my legs. I have really long legs, so I don't get to swing my legs that often on a chair. Makes me feel better about myself. And I notice sometimes when I sit with him, and you might find yourself sitting with him, I don't really have much to say Or maybe you just have a lot of anger and you have a lot of frustration. That's okay. He can take it. Tell him. Talk to him. And then you might start to feel a little bit awkward because you don't feel like he's saying anything. He's probably waiting for you to say the rest of the things that you have in your heart. So just keep talking to him and keep talking to him because he is listening. And I wish I could tell you there was like a magic number or a magic thing or whatnot, but I can't do that because, well, I'm not Jesus. He speaks for himself and he's really good at it. Sometimes we try to speak Jesus for other people and it just really gets crowded. But I'm going to say, I can promise you this, at some point in the conversation, you will start to notice him looking at you. It's the coolest thing. Because when you see him looking at you, see, that's the thing. You may not always see him looking at you, but when you see him looking at you, you will notice there's no judgment in his face. I know. You will see that he has understood and heard everything that you have said and then some. And in the moment where you want to cower back, his eyes will say, "You're good. Let's just sit here for a minute." Notice he hasn't really said anything. This is just his face. And so as you continue to sit with him and you realize that he sits with you, you might open up a scripture. You know, you hear people say as Christians, open up your Bible, open up your Bible. You might even open up your Bible now as you sit with him and you start to read because you want to learn about him. And you might get a little frustrated with the these and the thous and translations and you want to throw the Bible away. That's okay because he's still sitting with you. And you can tell him all your frustrations. And at some point, you'll start to hear him speak to you. Or he'll start to explain those scriptures to you. And I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord, but I want to add this last little bit to this illustration that came to my mind. He's still sitting with you when you go celebrate Christmas with your family. And when you find yourself struggling, take a couple steps back, go to the bathroom if you need to, come back out. And as you sit on the couch and you're watching your spouse, your children, listen to him. Because he might be sitting there saying, hey, Leah, I love him. I know you're really struggling with your relationship with your husband right now, but I want to let you know I'm still working in his heart, just like I'm working in yours heart. Let's watch him grow together. Let's hold space for him together. The same for your children. The same for your friends and your family. Remember that he is sitting right there with you. You don't have to have all these fancy Bible verses. They have their place. Don't get me wrong. That's important. But that was just in my heart of just, he's sitting with you. And even though you may not see him because you're so discouraged and you're looking down at the ground, that's okay. Because he sees you there and he is with you and he is listening. Don't be afraid to talk to him or speak to him simply because it's awkward or you don't feel like he hears you. And what's the point? No, he's there. And quite frankly, even if you aren't talking to him and if you're not speaking to him, he's still there. So good luck. He's big enough. He's just waiting for you. And I think that's what I hear when Tiffany's sharing. He's just waiting for you to look up and see him. And that's, I believe, like our heart and our prayer with Truth Rising is that you look up and you see his face full of compassion, full of mercy, full of grace, just saying, let's go. Let me show you what I am doing in you. And so, yeah.
I think there's nothing else that needs to be said. I think what we're going to end up saying here, my friend, beautifully said, Leah, I'm wrecked now. How about this? Let's just say this. Go sit with Jesus, everyone. And Merry Christmas.
At Truth Rising, we believe prayer is powerful. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you. May God give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May God be gracious to you and bless you and make his face shine upon you. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. And you may be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. May Christ make his home in your heart through faith. May your love abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. And may you be filled with joy. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And I say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.